having a why and something to drive you really helps. And that's where it's really beneficial for both of us to be leaning on each other, is I'm wanting to help him create his business so that he can retire, and he's wanting to help me create my business so that I can have a career.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to the Multifamily Money Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow. I'm excited to have you here. On this episode, it really hit home for me on why I created this podcast. I created this podcast to share my journey of pursuing financial freedom and what that meant to me. And I just wanted to be able to share, kind of to document my journey and be able to share and give back what I've learned and what those that I have met along the way have learned. And this episode is one of those episodes where I get to bring on two really cool guests that are absolutely crushing it in the multifamily investment world. And it just hit home because my why, part of my why, a major reason my why, is to be able to give back to my family, to create true financial freedom and legacy wealth, to be able to take care of my family, my parents. And it's really cool because on this episode, the two guests are a father-daughter duo, and they're doing this together. And their why is similar to mine. They want to be able to create legacy wealth for their family, but they're doing it together as a family, which is so cool. I've had the pleasure to get to know them over the past 18 months. And Sean Thompson, the father, he's been in the real estate investment world for over 15 years now, and he's had his hand in a little bit of everything from fix and flips, wholesaling, land deals, buy and hold single family, and now buy and hold multifamily. And he tells in the episode that at the end of the day, to meet his goals and dreams of financial freedom and legacy wealth, that multifamily apartments were the best way to do that. And so in this episode, they talk about how they transitioned, how they're building their business. And Sean is in, he kind of focused on acquisition. So it's really cool to see the father-daughter duo here. And they really explain how they just really exploit their strengths. And then the other fills in the other's weakness with their strengths. This is really cool. So Sean focuses primarily on acquisitions. That's kind of his go-to. And then Abigail, who's actually, as of this recording, still in college, which is really cool. She's able to balance all her school load with building a multifamily empire. Her focus is on kind of the marketing investor relations side, which, as Sean will tell you, he wants from the marketing side, doesn't really want much to do with. He just wants to focus on finding the deals, getting the deals, operating the deals. So on this episode, it's just great because it's not easy to have a father-child work relationship. Not everyone can do that, but they're striving. So if there's anyone out there that is either in that type of situation or looking to do that, this is a great episode. And it's also a great episode just for anyone who wants to know how to scale a business. And they give a lot of great information on this. So I'm excited. Let's just get into it.
Hey, Abigail and Sean, welcome to the show. I really appreciate your time today. How are you both doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you.
I'm doing good too, Sean. Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate your time. And to the listeners, like I mentioned in the intro, this is going to be a really good episode. We got a father-daughter team here that are going to crush it in this multifamily space. And I don't say that lightly. I'm even wearing their merch here for those that are watching. We'll see the cash flow shirt. Those that are listening, I've got a t-shirt on that's there. So I wouldn't just wear someone's merch lightly. I don't take that lightly. So we got a good show ahead. So now let's just get into it. I don't know who wants to go first, but just give us a little background of where you both started and how you got to kick off this awesome family business that you started.
Why don't you go ahead, Abby? You talk first.
I don't know how much background I have in family business, but I am currently a full-time college student and now full-time managing partner of Thompson Multifamily Group. I am studying real estate finance with a minor in marketing, pretty tailored to our business. And now I'm working with my dad.
That's awesome.
It's pretty fun.
That's so impressive. Like most kids like myself that were in college, or I shouldn't say kids, you're a young adult, are conditioned to think that you got to go to a good school, you got to do well in school so you can get a good 9-to-5 job and join the rat race per se. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck in that same mindset for the longest time. And I'm just very impressed that you skipped that whole phase. I wish I could have done that. So I don't know if you can just touch on that and just let the listeners know if there was an aha moment. And I know you've got a wonderful mentor and your father, but if there was any like aha moments why you chose to go this route, which I'm jealous of, by the way.
Well, I kind of grew up in an entrepreneurial space with watching my dad do his business. And then growing up, I always had ideas that he encouraged me to either sell them or create ways I could sell them or find ways that I could make a business, and encouraged me to always kind of tap into that aspect of myself. But I think more of like an aha moment was, and we know this story really well, we'll talk about it on our platforms also, but he came and visited me my freshman year of college, and kind of we just had dinner and sat down, and I said, I really want to travel after I graduate, and I want to be able to do it in a way that I don't have to worry about expenses. I can do anything that I want, whenever I want, however I wanted, when I go over there. And he said, well, you need passive income. And I was like, okay, here it is. Here is these years of him telling me about his business is about to be this pinnacle of that. I'm going to change my mind from going to corporate and doing that route, which is what every use, like you said, is everyone's condition. I changed and was like, okay, well, tell me about it again. I'll take it seriously this time. And originally we were doing single family. So he was like, go find houses in your college town and I'll help you buy them. And that's kind of how it started.
That's awesome. And just to highlight a point you made, it's about that passive income, or is that the cash flow? You need to create passive income. And for listeners that aren't familiar with that term, that's money you're making when you're awake, asleep, and it doesn't require you to go to a 9-to-5 job. So you're not trading your time for money. And by creating passive income, like Abigail is saying here, you're able to create a lifestyle you want to live. So for her, it's she can create passive income and then go travel. And she doesn't have to show up to the office every morning if she doesn't want to. But I know her work ethic. She probably will, but she has the option not to. And so, yeah, well, thank you for sharing that. And yeah, Sean, I guess let's hear about your background, which is awesome. You've been in real estate for a long time. And I remember you telling me you've pretty much done it all, seen it all. And you started off in a single family, like a lot of real estate entrepreneurs. But unlike a lot of real estate entrepreneurs, you've seen the light and you're full bore into the multifamily apartment space. So if you could just touch on that, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, my whole life, I've been kind of a worker. So I was one of those people that thought you had to have a job and stability and things like that. And I've always dreamt of being wealthier or greater than just the work that I do or the job that I have, right? So it took me a really long time to sort of unwind my programming and finally just make the commitment to starting and running my own business, because you can only achieve a certain amount working for somebody else, right? You eventually have to branch out and do your own thing and make your own path in the world in order to succeed on a much higher level, right? So the millions don't come for just a standard person in a corporate job or any kind of regular job. You have to go out and sort of hustle that and find that on your own. Man, it took me till about age 40 before I just made the commitment to say, I'm never going back to a job again. I'm going to make this happen or not, or, you know, or just die trying, right? And like Abby said, I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial mindset on some level, but I've had a fear that held me back from taking that entrepreneur path and going and opening my own business. So the fear is what kept me at a job for so long. So since the age of, well, a little bit before that, I 10 or 15 years, I tried to become a real estate investor. I just didn't know how. I knew that I could buy a house, fix it up and flip it and make money, but I didn't know how I could do that every day, right? So buying one house and flipping it is not hard, but buying a house every month or a couple houses every month and doing that as a career, that takes a whole other different type of machine. You have to build a whole business around that. And I didn't know how to do that part of it. So eventually, I think it was 2011, 2012 timeline, I bought my first house with the intention of fixing it up and selling it for profit. That was kind of my goal. And we were also moving the family in the house too. So I bought the house, moved the family in, fixed it all up. We ended up selling it a year and a half later. I made a ton of money on that house. And at the time that I did that, my contractor had just bought a Homevestors franchise. So Homevestors is, I don't know if you know who Homevestors is, but it's the We Buy Ugly Houses people. And they have a system for being a single family real estate investor. And he was telling me about his experience with them and buying that franchise. And that's exactly the system that I've been looking for a decade or whatever. So I went and bought a franchise, and that was kind of my launch into the single family business. But my goal as a real estate investor from day one has always been income. You know, it's making money is not hard to do. That sounds silly to most people, but to buy a house, fix it, and sell it and make $20,000, $30,000 is really not that difficult. But making income every month, whether you're working or not, is extremely hard, right? So that takes some planning, it takes coordination, it takes, you've got to focus on acquiring assets as opposed to just flipping houses, right? And it's a mindset shift from I need to make money to I need to build assets, or I need to acquire assets, or I need to buy assets, whatever that is. And so I've always thought to myself, I'd love to have an apartment complex. You know, since I was younger, I would drive by apartment complexes and say to myself, man, if I could just have one of those, I just need one of those. And I've always looked at them and thought that if I could do that. But in my mind, apartment owners were always REITs or hedge funds or somebody beyond my where I was in life, right? And it wasn't until I met Corey Peterson that I realized, because he's a regular guy like me, comes from nowhere, he really just like me. And he owns tons of apartments, and he's been a successful apartment buyer and owner and operator for years. And hearing his story really made me think, well, if he can do it, someone like me can do it. I didn't even realize it was possible until I met him and hearing his story. So ever since then, I've been really laser focused on transitioning my business from single family to apartments. I've had single family wholesale deals, flips. We've done all kinds of construction projects. I've had rental portfolios. I still have rentals now. I'm still flipping houses today. So I still do single family quite a bit, but my singular focus now is just acquiring apartments because I want that passive income, that cash flow income, and I want it forever, right? So that's why I've transitioned into it.
Well, thanks for sharing. That's where I came in.
I'm sorry, Abby?
I said, and that's where I came in.
There we go. Love it.
Yeah, and funnily enough, when I met Corey and the conversation I had with Abby and sort of this exploration of my business all happened simultaneously about 2 years ago. And so for me, I started making that turn all around the same time, and then having Abby come on board. Abby's a perfectly complementary skill set to mine. So it's just allowing me to accelerate my business growth. I needed her in my business all along, and I didn't even realize it. But now that she's with me, it's been great having her sort of complement what I do best and what she does best. It makes us stronger. So it's good.
That's awesome. It's so important to have someone that complements you when it comes to like a business partner. And it's even better that you guys are related. But I just want to unpack a few things you said, because you dropped some really good information for the listeners. First, you said it took you until about 40. And I just want listeners to know that you can start at any time. I kind of got, as you referenced Corey Peterson, as he says, the download from the mothership. I got that in my late 20s. And I wish I was fortunate enough to get it like Abby did in her early 20s, or maybe it was even before that, 18, 19. I wish that had happened to me. But just to let everyone know, you can start whenever. I was actually reading an article yesterday. I was talking about some of the billionaires, some of the most successful people in the world, that they started later in their life. They weren't successful. They were living paycheck to paycheck until they were anywhere from mid to late 40s. Yes, so it can happen whenever, and never give up on your dream. And then you also mentioned the fear and what I call sometimes limiting belief or mindset. And I can relate to that, because I had that until a few years ago. I thought, hey, I need to have the capital in hand already. I need to somehow get experience before I can jump in. But as we know, that's just not the case. And then also, this, for those single family flippers out there, he really hit on a great subject. That's not the cash flow or passive income life, because you're still trading time for money. Yeah, you're working for yourself, but as soon as you're done with one deal, you got to go find another. Whereas passive income from multifamily investing is you get one deal, and essentially, if it's a good deal, you're kind of set. Like, obviously, we don't want to stop with one deal. We want more, but that's the power of passive income. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I guess you kind of already mentioned how she has a benefit to your business and how you guys help each other out. But can we just dive into that, how it's been to start a family business and kind of what some of those compliments are?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I like to think of it as he's our visionary. So he thinks of the ideas and he's our credibility. So like, I'm 21. I don't have the experience that he does. I don't have the net worth or anything like that. So he's my credibility, but he thinks of the ideas and I try and figure out how to implement them. So I'm our integrator. And it works out really well because he's able to go find all these deals and go, okay, this is how it can work. And I'm like, okay, well, we need this much. And, or with our marketing, we need to do, he thinks of the idea of what he wants and how he wants it to look. And I go, okay, well, let's do these steps to make it happen and how to create that. And it works out beautifully. It's amazing.
Yeah. For me, Sean, the thing I struggle with most is stopping and putting a process down on paper or putting a process down. I can train somebody to do it, right? So I operate, everything's in my head. I operate in processes and systems in my mind, but I don't stop and put those things down so that I can scale or replicate my business without me. So really, I just keep everything inside and I run by myself, right? So I know what to do. I know what I want to do. And I know what the success steps are and things like that. But if it were just me, it would just be me sort of running this system and no one would know what was going on. So Abby takes everything that's in my head and maps it out and then help, actually helps me execute things too. So the other problem I have is if you operate the way I do, you can only accomplish what you can accomplish there throughout the day, right? So if you run out of time, you don't get everything done, you just don't get everything done, right? With Abby, she's able to come up with processes and we can execute the plan much more systematically. And then we can incorporate my VAs, we can incorporate other people because it's easily explained to somebody else how to get that done, right? So it's making the business much more capable and possible and moving forward much more efficiently. So, and then our relationship has been great. We've always had a relationship as father and daughter anyway. And since our work, I guess our work methodologies are complementary, we don't stumble over each other too much. We do have a little bit of conflict here and there, but those are just normal things. And it's really not as much as I've had with almost anybody else in my life that I've worked with in the past. So we get along great and it's been really fun and beneficial, I think, for both of us. And I have a huge vested interest in helping her succeed. So I think it's really good. It's been a great start to the business anyway for us.
I also think that it keeps us motivated. So both of us are wanting to help each other.
Right.
And so that, like this business, it's really difficult to wake up every day and force yourself to do the work and continue going after you get rejected or things get hard because you don't have that boss saying, well, you have to do it. You don't have that office saying, okay, well, I have to go into work. You don't have that framework. And so having a why and something to drive you really helps. And that's where it's really beneficial for both of us to be leaning on each other is I'm wanting to help him create his business so that he can retire. And he's wanting to help me create my business so that I can have a career. And that allows us to do the best work that we can for each other and not just ourselves.
That's great. It's like a built-in accountability partner or hype man.
Exactly.
So everyone's going to have those down days and then when you have a partner to you pick you back up and then vice versa. That's great. In my business, I don't have a partner. I definitely have those days where you're having a down day, but there's no one really you can share it with. You can try, but they're not necessarily going to relate to it because they're not going through it with you. So I can definitely see the benefits in that. I guess next, you kind of touched on it, but like what's the legacy or the long-term picture for the business?
Well, the first step is to get dad retired, right? So I have a retirement goal, right? And so the idea is to set the business to a place where I'm able to kind of relax. We want to get me and my wife retired. She still works at a corporate job and my business takes a lot of investment, right? So we have to reinvest our capital all the time. So I'm always, you know, perpetually broke because I take all my money and I go put it into a new investment all the time. So for me, it's we got to get the business to a place where that daily money, that monthly money, that quarterly money is just kind of trickling through the system and we're at a place that it makes us enough money that we can go and enjoy ourselves, right? So once we get there, that's step one. And then hopefully at the same time, we're building an entity that Abby can then take on and move into her future so that she can create a lifestyle that she enjoys. You know, the whole, one of the things I didn't realize when I was younger is think about work and money, right? You think, well, I got to hustle. I got to make some money. I got to make some money. And it's not about making money. It's about buying assets that pay you so that you don't have to hustle, right? So you want to hustle just long enough to where the hustle is no longer necessary. Then you can build your life like you want. You can have the health and free time and travel and all those sorts of things that you want. So the goal is to get Abby to that place, right? So get me retired is step one. Step two is to get Abby in where her the business is supporting her and having a nice free lifestyle, I guess, that she can do what she wants to do every day.
That's great. Right. It's like what Robert Kiyosaki said, buy the assets first, so then you can buy the liabilities later if you really want them.
And exactly.
That's the way I try to live my life. It just makes complete sense. What's the point of buying that liability? That's, yeah, you're going to maybe get some joy and pleasure out of it for a little while, but then what's it, in the long run, what's it going to do for you? But that asset that perpetually pays you, there's so much power in that. There's nothing like that. I couldn't agree with you more on that. So how's the deal hunt going? Is that what you guys are mostly focused on? Deals, raising money, or is it a little bit of everything?
Everything.
Yeah.
We play to our strengths. He's really good at deals, and I kind of am okay at everything else. So
since the coronavirus, they're quarantining and things, so Abby wasn't able to be in class and school, so she came home for a few months. And since we were together, we really focused on getting a podcast built and the podcast going. So we've been doing that for the last several months. So we've gotten a full system with the podcast. We've got several guests recorded. Everything is set up and it's running now pretty smoothly. At the same time, I've been out trying to hustle deals. My single family business has been taking my eye off the ball a little bit with the apartment deal hustle, but we've got properties. You know, I've looked at several properties. We've submitted LOIs. We're doing some more this next week. We're looking at three more deals, hopefully. So we're constantly in the deal search. We're underwriting properties daily. We're just trying to build a machine that looks at deals, underwrites deals, and kind of has opportunities coming across our desk all the time. And then we're also working with investors that are interested in working with us from an equity partner standpoint. So we're working with them, kind of explaining what it looks like to be an investor with us, what it looks like to be an investor in apartment buildings, how those businesses work. I have a lot of investors from my, not a lot, but I have a few investors from my single family business. And those guys, we've been dealing with them. And then we've also been dealing with new people explaining those things. So we've been really sort of holistically taking the approach of our business of trying to get everything accomplished. And the idea, I look at everything as sort of a machine, right? So I look at deal finding as what kind of machine do I need to build to make sure that the deals are coming through? What sort of machine do we need to build to make sure our investors are getting what they need? What do we need to do for marketing? So I look at all those different silos as machines, and I just try and build machines that create or generate the business for us. So that's really what we've been doing. So
I think that's a great term, machine, because I've seen you work and it seems like you are a machine when it comes to finding deals. So are there any tips or tricks you have for the listeners? Because I've seen a little slowdown, at least from my contacts, in terms of deal flow during the coronavirus pandemic. It seems to me like you haven't. Do you have any tips or tricks for those out there that are looking to deal flow coming across the desk?
It's just hustle, man. You just got to hustle. The problem that you have is when you get started with looking at properties, or you're contacting brokers, or you start looking at properties start coming in, right? Then you focus on the property that you have in front of you, and you'll start underwriting that property. And then you have these conversations with the brokers. And so you stop looking at deals that are coming in. So you start focusing on a deal that you have in front of you. And then there's deals that are coming in that you're not focusing on. And when I talk about building a machine, the idea is that I have someone that can look at that deal that comes in and gets the preliminary underwriting started. And then I have a secondary underwriting double check. And then it comes to me, third step. So you want to continue that process of deal flow, right? You don't want to pause that. So right now I've been focused on, I have three properties that are very high potentials for me that I'm going to go look at beginning of next week. And I'm excited about those. And for me, I stopped looking at the deal flow. So you have to be sure and continue that deal flow through your system, because these deals, more than likely, you're going to lose the deals, or they're going to fall through, or something's going to go wrong, because there's 1,000 things that have to go right in order for a deal to be successfully taken to the finish line, right? So for me to buy a property, there can be a number of things that can stumble the deal all along the process. So you always want to have another property in the system behind that one that you can go, okay, this one fell apart. What's this one look like? What's this one look like? What's this one look like? Right? So you want to continue that process. The problem, if you stop and focus just on this one and you stop looking at the deals that are coming in, when this one falls apart, you have to start back over at the beginning, right? Because these deals that you ignored, they're now gone. Someone else put them under contract, or someone else has moved on with those. So now you've got to go find more deals, right? So you want to create that machinery so that you're just constantly running things through your system, underwriting deals all the time, always looking at properties and sort of expecting them to kind of be checked off your list. And that's okay, you know, because it's, you got to look at hundreds of these things before you actually get the one that you want or the one that you need. So I guess the tip I would say is think of it in terms of flow, right? Just to keep that flow going and hustle. It's really just about hustle. You got to constantly be sort of thinking about those deals and what opportunities they have for you and then processing that information and then taking action to make those things happen. I have to, because I get the email from the broker, it doesn't mean anything. And I still have to underwrite the thing. I still have to call the broker and say, hey, how did we look on this? What can make this deal happen for us? Have those conversations. And then you got to get in your car and you got to go look at them, or you got to get on a plane and go look at these properties. You got to take those actions. Those actions have to be taken all the time. So it's just hustle, hustle, and thinking of it as flow.
And he touched on it, but Corey Peterson will always say, we underwrote 700, transacted on 16, and then actually finalized the process at 3. So it's really a numbers game. You got to go through so many before you can find the one that you is like really good and you want to go after. And so continuing that flow, like he was talking about, is so important.
That's a great point. And I think you should be looking at that many deals, especially in this market, as a conservative investor. And in order to do that, you need to build a machine or a system. So it's efficient, it's repetitive and consistent. And I think without that, you're just going to get lost. And I couldn't agree more. I've been developing my machine or system, and I'm looking to bring a VA on to do the preliminary underwriting, because that's kind of the minutia, the monotonous part, time consuming. So get that out of the way. And then anything that meets that preliminary, like penciling, will then go to me. And I think that's really smart to do it like that. We need to, as entrepreneurs, as operators of our businesses, we need to be focused on some bringing in investors, bringing in building relationships with brokers, not necessarily putting in $675 for this unit, $750 for this unit. But it's definitely a great place to start, because for anyone new out there, you definitely should do it to just to learn whatever tool you're using to underwrite. But yeah, you definitely need to create a machine. Thanks for sharing that tip.
Well, and hustle, you got to hustle, man. It's all about taking the action. If you're not massive action all the time, you're going to get run over.
Definitely. I know you've mentioned before this term, which I'm probably going to steal from you one day, is the deal box. And I think that you might have even mentioned, and I didn't notice, but the deal box, I think, is so important, because that also saves you time. If it doesn't meet your criteria, why look at it next? And I think that's very smart, because once you get on a broker's list, they're just going to send you everything, because you know that they want to make a sale. And if you jump on everything, it's not a good use of your time. And also on that, I generally tell them, I don't know what your philosophy is on this, but I usually tell them that I'll get back to them within 48 hours for underwriting purposes once they send me a deal.
For me, I'm doing too many. I can't do that. I tell them if I have any interest, I'll let you know.
Okay.
So what I do is I definitely have a deal box, right? So my ideal property, my ideal location, my ideal outcome. So I have what that looks like. And I have that criteria set. And so for me, if it doesn't fit in the property box or the investment box, it gets kicked out, right? So you have to move through things rapidly. The other problem I see investors in this space doing is they get lost in, oh, this looks like a great deal, but it's some sort of land deal or something obscure that they, it looks great, but it doesn't fit your deal box. So why are you even spending any time on it? I see deals all the time that are 12 units or 4 units or duplexes, or I'm getting single family deals in all the time too. So if you're focused on all this other stuff, you're going to miss the opportunity that you've been looking for when it comes across your desk. So if you don't laser focus on exactly what you want to accomplish, whether it's, I want to buy 12 to 32 unit buildings, that's all I want to buy. And I want to buy them in this location, and I want to pay for, you know, I want them to be this level and all these things. If you don't have a deal box like that, you're going to waste a ton of time looking at fourplexes or 100 unit deals that you can't get. That's another good thing for people to do, is to figure out exactly what they want and then only focus on those things.
That's so important. Put those blinders on and look away from those shiny objects, because it's just going to hurt you in the end.
Yeah. And I recommend you do that with all things in your business. So investors and what your marketing is going to look like and your social media presence and your podcast, all of that. If time is money and very valuable, and you want to make sure that the time you're spending on doing something is worth it and that it's giving value to your business. And if that's not what's happening, you need to reevaluate or change your process.
That's a great point. Even when I was starting this podcast, I kind of had to reel myself back because I was doing that. It's like, oh, I should use this fancy software. Oh, this mic. Oh, those headphones. It's like, no, just get something that works and get to work. So
yeah, exactly.
Couldn't agree more. Well, getting to the end of the show, usually I ask our guests to give an action item just because I like to leave our listeners with something they can go out and do, not just listen to a podcast with great information and then do nothing. So if you could prescribe something to our listeners that they had to do for the next 60 days to help both their career and life out, what would that be? I'll let you both answer that if you have different answers.
Go ahead, Abby.
For me, it was what I would say, at least, is figure out the lifestyle that you want to live. So for me, it was in the future, I want to be able to be very present in my family, but also still be a very successful businesswoman. And the world can tell women all day long that they can't have it all, but I am out to seek having it all. I want that whole holistic lifestyle. And I want to be able to do with my time what I want. And that was something that was important to me. And I realized that at an early age, thankfully. But realize what you want for your life. Figure out the ideal lifestyle that you want to live. And then backtrack. So figure out actionable steps that create that. And in this space, it was, okay, well, I need to start a multifamily business. Then now I need to go look at this many deals and find this many passive investors and do this every single day to build a life that I wanted. And then just do that every single day and keep going and build your own personal machine. It doesn't have to be a business machine, but personal things. So exercise every single day or meditate and do yoga every day to create mindfulness. Read a book if that's something that you enjoy, and find little things that you want to strive to be like every single day, and then just go after it.
That's great. I couldn't agree more. You got to find what makes you happy and what you want to do. And it's not necessarily find what you're passionate about, because that can come later. If you find something that you can dedicate yourself to, that passion will come. So I couldn't agree more.
Exactly.
My answer would be similar to Abby's. I guess I would look at it as if you have a dream or something that you want to achieve, the first step is to believe it. You have to believe that it's possible for you, and you have to believe it in your core that you want it. And then I would say, once you've accomplished that and you believe that it's possible for you, then you need to go and educate yourself on what it's going to take to get there.
Yep.
And listening to podcasts, reading books, whatever it is that you need to educate yourself enough to go out and start taking steps towards that dream is what you want to do. So it's dream it, believe it, educate yourself, and then action. You've got to take the action. A lot of people will go to seminars for years and learn about things for years and then never take the actions necessary. There's fears that are holding them back, or there's something that's holding them back. So you want to take that action. If you're not taking the action, you're never going to actually get there. And then you're going to fail all the time. So just understand that failure is part of the process, and don't be afraid of it. And just continue taking those steps. Failure is an opportunity to learn something, right? So
yes,
whatever you broke, ruined, or failed at, figure out what happened and then make adjustments in your business and move forward, right? So I would just say dream it, believe it, educate yourself, and then act on it, right? That would be my process.
Oh, that's and awesome. I really appreciate that. And probably throw a cold shower or two in there as well.
Yes.
Once you get to that part, you have to start tweaking and making smaller changes. You have to start looking at your health and lifestyle, and you got to take care of yourself every day. You've got to start looking at your diet. At some point, you have to start refining those processes to a smaller, more micro level, because what we ask the universe to give us, this freedom, this financial freedom, the American dream, I like to call it, is a big deal. And it takes everything you have. It takes all you've got every day to get up and convince yourself that my dream is real. I believe it can happen for me, and I'm going to go out and do it, right? So you have to tell yourself that every day. So just those big basic steps that I gave you, at some point when you're in that massive action and failure phase, you're going to have to start tweaking and saying, okay, what can I do better here? I need to get healthier. I need to get faster. I need to get smarter. I need to get better. You just got to get to where you're refining your systems all the time, so that when you do run into those opportunities, you're clicking through them.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Well, where can we find you two and Thompson Multifamily Group?
You can find us on pretty much every social media platform. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. Facebook is our primary. And then we also have a website, thompsonmultifamilygroup.com, where you can find all the information about our business, learn more about us, contact us in any way that you want. And then we have our own podcast, The Next Level American Dream, where we do similar things of what you're doing right now.
It's a great podcast, everybody. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah,
we enjoy it. Thank you both for jumping on. I really appreciate your time. It's been a really good episode. You guys dropped a lot of information that I know my listeners are going to like. So I thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having us on. This was a pleasure.
Thanks for having us so much, Sean. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.